This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Our trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. A love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am Belinda Gale, and I am so delighted to be your host as we visit with interesting and diverse guests. We also have the honor of featuring our guests' gospel and patriotic music and sometimes poetry, most all of which has a definite Western flair. Today's guest is a delightful young lady who is just launching her musical career, and what a launch she has had. But before we bring her on, let's listen to her version of Why Me, Lord.
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worthy of you and the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. You know who I am. Now that I know I've needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hands. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I could somehow repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. You know what I am.
Well, barely 16, our guest today is a remarkable talent and lives a truly extraordinary life. That she lives simply is an understatement, but that simple living has allowed her music to expand, deepen, and blossom into something truly beautiful to behold. Not only does she have a hauntingly beautiful voice, she plays like a zillion instruments. She has already been recognized by the Western Music Association for her nominations for Rising Star, And at the tender age of 13, she and her father won the harmony competition with her arrangement of Cool Water. Most recently, out of 200,000 people auditioning, being utterly true to herself, she made it to the top 14 of the last season of American Idol. And that's just amazing. Her poise, stage presence, and confidence are amazing for anyone at any age, but absolutely remarkable for a 16-year-old. Best of all, she is kind, compassionate, and a well-grounded young lady. I'm so delighted to welcome to the show Genevieve Rose Mitchell. Hey, Genevieve.
Oh, thank you so much, Miss Belinda. I love this show, and I'm so insanely blessed to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm just delighted. I know you're busy, especially on the heels of American Idol. You've got a lot going on in your life, and so it's just so cool to have you on the show, and it's so fun, and I'm really excited for those who don't watch American Idol and don't know about you that are our listeners. I'm really hoping to really introduce you and your music to all of them as well. So this is very fun for me. So thank you for making time for us, sweetie. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, I've been pretty busy. Yeah, it's been crazy, but it's been really fun.
Yes, so, and we will definitely talk more about your American Idol experience later in the show. But first, I want to lay some groundwork. And I saw in your bio that you're actually born in Las Vegas, but at a fairly young age, your family moved to Colorado and went completely off the grid. I mean, off the grid. And so I know our listeners would love to hear how that works and what a typical day in your life looks like and what are some of the challenges of living like that.
Yeah, well, my mom and dad met in Las Vegas and they shared the love of farm and simple living and the love of the wild, and so they got married and had me, and when I was 7 years old they took me up to the mountain, and it's been amazing. I mean, I love living up here, and we got a bunch of animals now, and our farm is expanded, and it's just really cool. I train horses, and I play music, and those are the things I love to do the very most.
Well, so now, as being off the grid means that you guys you're not connected up to, like, the power grid. You have a well. Do you have a well, or do you cart your water in, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, living off the grid, we can't really, the reason we're off the grid is because we want to be, but also we can't even get power lines up to the mountain, even if we wanted to, which is totally fine by us. But, yeah, we live pretty far away from the nearest town of Crawford. But, yeah, we have water, but it comes from a mountain well, and it's all pretty much snow runoff. And so groundwater goes right to a sink, and it doesn't have much pressure, but, it does the job.
Oh, my gosh. So you get the water, just not a lot of pressure.
Yeah, right.
Sorry about that. That's my little dog barking in the background, so please disregard her. I'll figure out what she's barking at later. Just background barking. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Oh, my gosh. So do you guys grow – do you have a garden? You grow your own food? Are you canning food? I mean, how does that work?
Oh, yeah. We grow all our – most of our own food, we have a big garden, and we harvest our own meat from our animals and our own vegetables and fruit and everything and greens from our garden.
Wow. That's just amazing. So now, I knew I grew up on a ranch where in the summer it wasn't so bad, but in the winter the power lines would go out, the water would go out. We really kind of lived off the grid with oil lamps, and, the heat came from the fireplace and the wood stove. So I can relate to part of that, so I kind of know. But as I think it's harder on adults than it is on kids. You just kind of go with the flow, and you don't think too much about it. So that's a very cool way to live. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Gosh, so how young were you when you remember becoming interested in music?
I was I was like born and I was loving music. I mean, I would, like, music would keep me from crying, and when I was 2 years old, I learned my first song, which was the national anthem.
Oh, gosh.
So when I was 2 years old, I started doing that song for people. And then when I was 3, I started learning the fiddle because my dad, you know, he's always played the guitar and sang, and he would play and sing me songs. And then he took me to a music store one time to get new strings for his guitar. And that's where I saw a fiddle for the first time. And I knew I had to play that instrument. I just fell in love with the fiddle right there. I didn't even have to touch it. So I started taking lessons. And when I was 4 years old, I did my first performance playing the fiddle and singing with my dad. And that was really cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so ever since then, I mean, when I turned 8, I started learning fiddle music and got away from, you know, classical violin, even though I love that, but, you know, fiddle music really touched my heart, you know, and I started singing gospel tunes and bluegrass. When I was 8 years old, I started learning a few more instruments.
As in, like, how many, I mean, I know there's a whole bunch, but go ahead and rattle off the instruments that you now play.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Let's see. Fiddle, mandolin, guitar, bass, harp, flute, French horn, cello, banjo, ukulele, piano, trumpet, and soon to be more.
You could be a whole band if you could split yourself up. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. And the thing is I've heard you play, and it's not like you dabble in these other instruments. I mean, you're accomplished in every one of them. So it's not, I mean, you can switch gears, and everybody thinks, oh, that must be her first instrument. No, that must be her first instrument.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. And just, I really, really love it. So tell us about... Now, one of the things I saw in the bio was it was so cute because you guys actually live in a fifth wheel, right? Are you still living in a fifth wheel, or do you have a house yet?
We brought a fifth wheel trailer up the mountain in the middle of the winter in January, and it was completely snowy, but my mom couldn't stand being in Vegas anymore, so we brought it up to the mountain and just set it down, and my dad had to keep turning it until my mom thought it was facing the right direction. And yeah, I was 7 years old at the time, and we had just 2 horses and a couple of dogs, and that's it. And yeah, and we're still living in the fifth wheel trailer, but my dad, being a genius carpenter, has built a few more rooms onto it using straw bales and clay right from the mountainside.
Wow. Oh, wow. I've seen those straw bale homes and structures, and they're pretty impressive. So, I mean, I think that would be pretty awesome to see that.
It's pretty cool. I love helping my dad because right now my dad is building another house so we can have a real house, you know, a little bit higher up on the mountain. So we're in the process of working on that.
Wow. So whoever you end up marrying is going to get like a do-everything, fix-it girl who knows a little bit about all kinds of stuff.
Right, exactly.
Might be a little intimidating to most fellows, actually.
That's fine with me.
You'll probably know more than they do. Well, we're going to go to a song now, sweetie, and it's called Glory Bound. And one of the things I do want to mention here, which is really kind of a cool thing, Gary pointed it out to me, our producer, is that your first album has actually been recorded in GarageBand, which is an Apple app. And so it has kind of a raw, organic quality to it, and you literally sound like you're playing live in a studio, which is way cool. So that's, you know, a little bit different sound, but we are playing recordings, but it sounds like you're live, which is awesome.
Thank you.
So tell us about Glory Bound and why you wanted to record that.
All right. I really love Glory Bound. The song really speaks to me, and my dad harmonizes with me. He's got a great voice and a perfect ear for harmony. I love singing with him. And I really love this song, and the story is very, very cool. It really talks about going to heaven, and that you're not sad about it, that you're like ready to go and you're happy and you're accepting the fact that that's what's going to happen, and you're just loving life and loving the journey.
Wow. Well, I'm so excited to share this with everybody. This is Genevieve singing Glory Bound.
When I hear that trumpet sound, I will lay my burdens down. I will lay them deep into the ground. Then I'll know I am glory bound. When I reach that resting place, I look on my mother's face. Nevermore will I have to know all the loneliness that's plagued me so. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Be traveling far from home, but I won't be traveling for too long. Oh, I'll be crossing all the great divide to a better home. Soon I will reside. I am listening for that train to Rome, and I know where she's coming from. Can you hear her on the track? When I board, I won't be looking back. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, hello. We're back. I don't know where I went someplace for a minute. I'm back. Oh, that was beautiful. The harmony on that is gorgeous. And
well, thank you so much.
Beautiful job. Beautiful job. So now I know that you're a believer, Genevieve, and I know that that's one of the things I love about you, because you are so grounded in your faith. And I just tell us a little bit about how that plays into your music and how that directs your music.
Oh, yeah. My personal faith is all about love of God and good communication with all the people of the world, all God's children. And I try to make all my selections and all my songs and performances communicate as much as possible that love and communicate the emotion of the song, whether it's happy or sad or anything in between.
Mm. Well, you certainly do a really good job of that. And so
thank
now
you.
You guys live way up on the mountains. I mean, do you guys just have your own services at home, or do you have a church that you can go to that's close, or how do you guys work that out?
Oh, we, me and my family, like to, the nearest, church of the nearest church is quite a ways away, so we like to spend our Sundays on the mountain together as a family, with the Bible and with God, and just be by ourselves. And
I for one think I feel closest to the Lord when you're in a mountain setting, and it's just so peaceful and so high and so majestic. It's you really feel full of the Lord in that setting. So I can totally get that. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's exactly how we feel.
Well, one of the things I thought was really interesting, now your mother is a nurse practitioner, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And so one of the things that I thought was really interesting was that you all actually raised the money to build a clinic. Can you tell us about all of that?
Yeah, I put on some benefit concerts when I was 10 and 11 and 12 and 13 to raise money so we could build my mom's health clinic, because her dream was to come out here in the middle of nowhere where there's not very good health services nearby, and to start her own business as a health clinic. And she's done that, and I've raised the money to build the health clinic, and my dad built it with his own two hands and the help of some inmates, and they were a lot of a help with that, and my mom now runs it, so we're just living the dream.
Wow. So did you say inmates as in prison inmates?
Yes. Yes.
So how did that come about?
Well, there's a facility a few miles away, and they have a program where the best inmates who are like the best personality and everything, they help with nonprofit organizations with building or like painting or anything like that.
So you guys just went and picked out like six or eight, or what did you do?
the warden picked them out for us, so we knew they were trustworthy. But yeah, they were fun. Yeah. A rowdy crowd.
I would imagine. So did you perform for them? Did they have any clue who they were working side by side with?
While they were working here, I was 13 years old, and I sang them a song that I wrote called Stand Up on Your Hind Legs and Deck Him. And my mom was all worried. She was telling me not to get him riled up.
So did they get riled up, or did they just appreciate it?
A little bit of both.
Oh, gosh. So now, what does the clinic services, like, what is the radius that your mom draws patients from?
She draws patients from miles and miles away, because she's the most trustworthy person around here. I mean, in the health business. Because, you know, she's the one person running the thing, so you always know you're going to have a good person, you know, taking care of you. And, yeah, so we get people from quite a ways around.
My gosh. So how many, is it open every day, or how often is the clinic open?
It's open Mondays through Fridays.
Wow. Wow. Now, I know sometimes when I've called you, you've been at the clinic. Do you spend time there helping, or what is your interaction with the patients, and what is your involvement in the clinic itself?
I do sometimes help out with some things that need to be done, but right now I'm just trying to get done with school, and there's good internet down here so I can do school stuff, so that's the main reason I come down mostly, but I do love helping my mom when she needs me.
Well, that even brings up another thing. I didn't even think about that. You definitely have to be homeschooled. There are no schools around you, right?
Yeah, right. I am homeschooled.
Wow. So tell me about that. How do you find that?
I'm homeschooled with mainly books, and sometimes when I need to come on the internet, I come down to the clinic, or we have a satellite for, you know, just in case we need it, because we have a satellite because we watched American Idol. And that's that's why we knew about American Idol and how we knew to audition, because that's pretty much the only thing that we watch. So if I need to get on the internet immediately, then we can get the satellite going with a generator, but that's not very often.
Use a generator sparingly, huh?
Yes.
I can imagine. So we're going to do another song that I found fascinating. It's very, very different, and I wouldn't even know what genre to try to plug it into, but it's really, really different, but with a really kind of incredible message. And do you want to tell us about the song Unwritten and why you chose to perform it?
Yeah, I choose all of my songs based on the message that they give. Actually, that's one of my main things that I do. And Unwritten really has a great message of being unwritten and being able to control how your story goes. And I just really love the song. And like you said, it really has an interesting kind of melody. Like, some call it like kind of a tiny bit Egyptian sounding, or I'm not sure. I don't know what to call it, but it's really fun to sing. And I love the message.
And you did not write this, right? You were telling me earlier who wrote this song.
Right. It was performed by Natasha Bedingfield.
I'm not familiar with it. I'll have to look her up, because this is definitely fascinating lyrics and a fascinating melody. And so let's listen to Unwritten.
No one else can feel it for you. Only you can let it in. No one else, no one else, no one else. I am unwritten, you can't read my mind, I'm undefined. I'm just beginning, pens in my hand, ending unplanned. Staring at the blank page before you, open up that dirty window, let the sun illuminate the words that you cannot find. Reaching for something in the distance, so close you can almost taste it. Release your inhibitions, feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you, only you can let it. Yourself in words unspoken. Live your life with arms wide open. Today is where your book begins. The rest is still unwritten. Unwritten. No one else, no one else can speak the words on your lips. Drench yourself in words unspoken. Live your life with arms wide open. Today is where your book begins. And the rest is still unwritten.
Wow. There's a lot in that song.
Yeah. A lot
in there. A lot of good advice.
I love singing that song to people.
Yes. They kind of, probably kind of go, look at you. I can just imagine that little, you know, RCA dog, you know, with that kind of a, whoa, what is this?
Yeah. That's actually... That was going to be the song that I would perform next on Idol.
Oh.
Because I got introduced to that song because we had to choose a song that was released between 2002 and 2007. And that's like a really narrow passage of time. And it had to be a well-known song. So I never heard the song before, but apparently they thought it was well-known. So that's cool. And so my sister said, hey, this song is cool, you should listen to it. And as soon as I heard the message, I knew that was the song I would choose to do on Idol.
Wow. Well, let's back up to the beginning. Now, so you're on the mountain, not really watching television, living this incredible, simple life. How did you become aware of American Idol in the first place?
American Idol started started when I was about 2 years old, the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents watched it in Vegas. And I learned a lot from that show just by watching it. And I always thought it was a cool, crazy dream to audition for American Idol, but I didn't think it would ever actually happen until I was 14, which was a year before I was of age to audition, because
mm-hmm.
you have to be between 15 and 29.
Wow.
And so... Yeah, I just prepared and went there not expecting anything to happen because, I mean, the odds are
right.
insane. So
Where was there? Where did you go to audition, Janice?
There was 5 different cities that American Idol had auditions at, and the one that I went to was Denver.
Okay.
And, yeah, that was... The whole thing was crazy. I mean,
literally walk us through. We have plenty of time, so walk us through. You guys get there. What is the first steps? What did you encounter? Because I know, my late singing partner and I one time were tried out for America's Got Talent, and we were surprised that when you get there, you don't go right in front of the stars to get your audition. You have to go through several layers to even get to them, which is, they must on purpose let some of these really bad people through just for the show.
yeah, they do.
Walk us through what that experience was for you. What happened first and next, and kind of walk us through that.
All right. Well, I went to Denver, and with my mom, my dad stayed to tend the farm and keep everything going. And me and my mom spent the night in Denver, and the next morning, very, very early, like probably 4:45 or something, we head over to the big Denver Auditorium, which is huge. And we got there early because, we knew there would be a huge line. We wanted to get kind of ahead, but turns out we turned in the middle because everyone wanted to get there early. And we waited and waited for hours and hours and hours, and which was totally fine. I mean, I'll wait for it. If this is going to – if I get an audition, I'll wait forever. But
yes,
we waited for hours and hours and hours, and we went in the place and waited for more hours. And then finally, I got to audition in front of a couple of producers. And there's tons and tons of producers associated with American Idol. And so I went in front of them, and they just smiled at me and gave me a sticker so I could go audition for more people. And then I auditioned in front of Taylor Hicks, who was there, who was on American Idol. And then it all went crazy from there. I went back the next day, auditioned twice more, and then they said, congratulations, you get to audition in front of the 3 famous judges. And whew, that was what it was like before anything was aired.
Wow. So yeah. Before we move on to what it was like to go before, you know, Jennifer Lopez and that board, tell us, what kind of feedback, were you getting any feedback from the other producers and people you had to audition from? Were they saying anything or just passing you through, or what was the feedback you were getting?
They were not saying anything. I don't know if they decided they shouldn't say anything, but they weren't saying anything except like, wow, because they had never seen a cello before in an audition, ever.
Oh, that's right, yeah. You had your cello. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and they had never seen an actual cowgirl before. I mean, they've seen, you know, country girls who don't wear a cowboy hat, you know, maybe a straw hat. But, yeah, nothing like the people that you would see every day in a Western Music Association.
Yes.
Yeah, the real deal.
Your great big felt hat and your wild rag and the whole nine yards.
The whole nine yards. That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so now tell us about auditioning in front of the celebrity judges.
Oh, that was crazy. Oh, there was, like, hours. When I say hours, I mean, like, 12 hours spaced out and then 12 more hours spaced out. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. There's a ton of waiting. So after a long time of waiting, I sat in a line outside the door that would lead into the judges' room.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this whole time there's cameras everywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. everywhere, like following you to the bathroom and, I mean, not going in the bathroom, but following you everywhere and, like, getting your family in a bunch and saying, look at the camera, don't look at the camera, talk to each other about this, about that. Now throw your hands in the air. The whole time, the whole few days that it took to audition. And then finally I sat outside the door and I walked in to this little tiny 3x3 room called the Chamber, which is a scary place with nothing in it. And that's where you wait before you step in front of the three famous judges. And these judges, I've heard all their music and, like, looked up to them. And oh, I was freaking out in that little room.
So for those who are not familiar with the show, please tell us who the judges were.
Oh, yes. The judges were Keith Urban, Harry Connick Jr., and Jennifer Lopez.
Wow.
And
I
as soon as,
everyone, yes.
Yeah. As soon as I walked in front of them, I, like, started, like, going a little crazy and blanking out. So I can't really remember the whole thing. But I seemed to look pretty calm, which was a good thing. Even though I wasn't.
What was their response to you dragging that cello out for that audition?
They were like, whoa, a cello. I've never seen that before. And Keith Urban thought that my strap that my dad rigged up on the cello was really cool because I kind of play it holding it on a strap like a guitar.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so you sang the song to them, and I watched this. It's so fun because I got to watch this, and I think you kind of really blew them away with this really funky rhythmic cello thing that you did with that song. They were just—they were so startled. I could tell.
Yeah, they were like surprised, and I knew that Harry Connick Jr., who I think I look up to most out of the three judges because he's just a genius with music.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he would like the chops because they were really funky. And mm-hmm. and so it was really, really fun to play in front of him.
Wow, that's so cool. So obviously they, sent you to Hollywood. You got through. So tell us about what that experience was going to Hollywood.
Yeah, after passing 5 auditions, only one of which was televised, so mm-hmm. the 5th one was technically the first audition on TV. The 2nd one was in Hollywood, and Hollywood Week is called by the producers boot camp because it is brutal. It is brutal, and many people can't handle it. I know a couple of my contestant friends who had to drop out because they couldn't handle the stress level and the no sleep, and everyone's voices were completely hoarse. And so I really wanted to auditioned for American Idol for the experience of insane show business. And I knew it would be like that, and I was expecting it, so I wasn't really affected by the craziness of Hollywood Week. But everyone else seemed to be.
So explain some of the craziness. Now, explain a typical, because you're there for the whole week. I mean, what's happening? Because we don't see a lot of that. I mean, you see bits and pieces that's televised, but really take us behind the scenes and what is it like? What's the stressful part?
Right. Let me think back. I'm reminiscing here. The Hollywood Week started out, they put you in a really nice hotel, and then you get up very early and meet with the producers and go to photo places where you, like, kind of like photo shoots, but it's videos, lots of different kinds of videos, where you're, like, all day long, you're like, oh, throw up your hands now. Now take off your hat. Now put it back on. Now look at your boots. Now look at the sky. I mean, all day with every person, they were doing that and doing that. That was the first day. And we got back to the hotel late and just crashed. And then on the next days, we would meet with producers and meet with vocal coaches and work with them. But the catch was there were so many people who went to Hollywood Week, about, I don't know, 300 or maybe a little less, that they had kind of a brutal race, like a foot race, up the escalators and around the hallways to get to the huge sign-up sheet. And everyone was, like, pushing each other and grabbing at pins so they weren't being – working with the vocal coaches at, you know, 1 a.m. because first come, first serve. So that was crazy. That was crazy.
Wow.
And by then there had already been many people crying and it was crazy, but I thought it was really fun because I can kind of handle a lot of stress. So that was really fun.
So let me get this straight. You guys have to work with the vocal coaches. They have the time slots, and they just say, ready, set, go. Everybody go sign up, and you have to – whoever's there is the fastest gets the better times, and whoever's the slowest gets, like, 1 or 2 a.m. that they go work with
you guys. Yes, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
So
Oh my gosh.
At one point, I had to change my song because we couldn't do originals. So I had to learn a new song at midnight, and I – practiced it for a couple hours and then took a 15-minute nap in the hallway with all the camera people running back and forth and all the contestants running back and forth. I mean, at this point, everyone's like half the people are sleeping right in front of you in the hallway with like blankets and pillows, and half the people are running around or singing. So, yeah, it was quite loud, but it was a great experience. I loved it. that was just all fun for me. And
so what was the
when I woke up,
yeah,
I
keep going. Go ahead.
I had my hat over my head, and when I woke up, there was a camera right in my face, which was because they're like, oh my gosh, the cowgirl's sleeping. Everyone, like, come over and film this. they were really intrigued by me. They had never seen a genuine cowgirl before.
Yep.
And so that was fun. So finally at 2:30 I got to work with the vocal coaches, 2:30 a.m. And then I got to sleep, and then call time was 4:30 a.m. so not much sleep, but you know, and call time was 4:30, and that day we had to do our first performance. And, oh, my gosh, finding a group was crazy. There's 3 performances in Hollywood Week, a group performance, a solo performance, oh, man, and a showcase performance with an audience of 2,000 people. That was the funnest part.
I bet. So you had to go. They didn't put you together with the group. You had to go find your own people.
Right. Well, what they did was to find a group, they threw everyone on the giant stage, all million, all of the hundreds of contestants on the stage, and they didn't tell us what was going on. We just had to figure out, oh, we're getting our group people now. And so everyone, it was like flashbacks of mean kids in elementary schools in like little groups of people that don't let anyone in their club. So it would, but luckily I found a couple of country girls who were very nice and very sweet, and we picked a song that we all liked, and what we had to do was pick a song from a short list of songs and hope that the other people weren't doing the song. At one point there was four different groups doing the same song. That was,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What song did you guys choose?
We sang a country song because they knew it, called Need You Now by Lydia Antebellum. And so I learned it and that was another late night. And all the craziness that I told you about, and then the first performance, and then all the craziness again, and then the second performance, and then all the craziness again in the third performance, with the contestants getting less and fewer and fewer and fewer every time.
Wow. So they're not being chosen out. They just are dropping out because they can't handle it at this point.
Well, they after every performance, they the judges pick who goes on and who doesn't.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was cool.
So you get through Hollywood Week, and then tell us what happened. The last performance, is that when you're, I mean, when they narrowed it down to who was actually going to be going on to be part of the actual show?
The whole brutal cuts is part of the main show, but not part of the live shows.
So
the first actual full performance shows was the top 24. And after the showcase round, which was the last round of Hollywood Week, the top 24 was chosen. And I was part of that, and that was amazing. And then the whole next weeks, we went to photo shoots, and like there would be days when all day long we would be running around to photo shoots, and then the next day we would spend all day meeting lawyers, and the next day meeting producers and famous people, and the next day performing for radio shows. It was insane and crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you went to the first live show, right?
Yeah. Well, the top 24 performance wasn't live, but it was like a practice for the live shows. The top 14 performance, would have been live, so I did make it live, but I just didn't perform live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
you made it to the top 14, which was pretty remarkable. I mean, when you think about, now with even more of the backstory, I mean, it just, thank goodness you had an amazing attitude, because I can see where, if you're really intense about it, you could just get totally drained, like, by the first day. That was just so intense.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was crazy.
Well, you sang a gorgeous song with a harp that I saw on television that was just stunning. And we're going to play that next. So tell us about this song, Angel.
Oh, the song Angel. The morning that I had to sing this song, I found out that my grandpa died that same morning.
So, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I had to do two performances that day. And so we did the dress rehearsal, and it was all good. And I was a little bit worried about it, you know, but I was way less stressed than I had been the previous auditions, just because I'd had so much more experience with pressure by then. I'm so glad for all that experience that Idol gave me. And I sang Angel. I performed Angel in front of the big audience in a church, which was one of the firsts for Idol. They hadn't done it in a church before. And the judges liked it, and then I sang a duet with a previous American Idol winner, which mm-hmm. was super cool. And that was Gone with Scotty McCreery.
Yes.
And when I was singing Angel, I really felt that my grandpa was singing with me. So that was a really cool moment because he hadn't been doing good for a while. And I was actually very glad that he was finally out of pain. So, yeah.
I understand. Well, it was a very touching performance, and I know you blew all of the judges away with it. And so we're gonna go ahead and wind up your Idol experience with this beautiful song, Angel, that you sang on American Idol.
Thank you.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for the break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction, a beautiful release. Memories seep from my veins. Let me be empty, oh, and wait. Then maybe I'll find some peace tonight in the arms of the angel. Fly away from here, from this dark and cold hotel room, and the endless that you feel. You are pulled from the wreckage of your silent reverie. You're in the arms of the angel. May you find some comfort here.
I do hallelujah.
That was your dad.
Oh my gosh.
That's cute. That was you playing the harp, right?
I forgot about that part. Yes. That was me playing the harp.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
That was
the first time.
That was the first time that Idol had ever seen a harp on the stage.
Right. So they had several firsts with you. First full-on true blue cowgirl, first cello, first harp.
Yeah.
So that was way cool for their final season. Well, you sure brought a beautiful light to that show, and it was so fun to see you on there and just being so true to who you are. And I think probably the only reason you didn't move forward is because people couldn't wrap their brain around you as a person. Obviously, I mean, your voice is killer, and your performances were stunning. And I think people just said, look, they couldn't see past this cowgirl that they couldn't put in a box. You know, they couldn't. Label you, they couldn't figure you out. So I think it was just, but I was like, yes, Genevieve. It was very cool. It was
Thank you.
Also very proud of you, and it's been such a joy to have you on the show. And I know that people are going to want to get in touch with you. I'm really eager for the when you have an opportunity to do a fully produced CD, because I think it's going to be amazing. Your rough recordings are just gorgeous. So when you really have a full-blown, fully produced album, I can just only imagine how gorgeous it's going to be. It's just pretty stunning.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome, sweetheart. And how can people get a hold of you? If they want to get a hold of this music, because you do have this music that they just listened to, you do have that on a CD for sale. And then also just to get hold of you to come perform, because you can – I mean, you're homeschooled, so your parents can take you anywhere. So that would be awesome. So please tell people how they can get hold of you.
Yes, I have a website, and on the website you can send emails to me or sign up for my email newsletter. So that's how you can get a hold of me, or you can keep in touch with Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or all three or whatever you want.
And what is your website address, honey?
My website is JeneveRoseMitchell.com.
Okay, that's easy. And Facebook the same?
Facebook is just my full name, Geneve Rose Mitchell, and same with Twitter and Instagram. And you can find me easily because I am verified, so I'll have a little blue check mark next to my name.
Oh, there you go. Well, I'm so glad you're verified.
Me too.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and it was fun to walk through that American Idol experience with you, and so fun to hear about your life on the mountain, and I just know that the Lord has great things for you. And what do you have, anything immediately coming up, or what are your goals?
I have a couple of performances around here. So I have one in Paonia coming up, and in Delta and Cedar Ridge. So that's very fun. And, yeah, you can look on Facebook or my website to see when those are, or if you would like, if you live around here, I don't know. anyone lives around here. But, yes, I am long-term goal. I am going to definitely tour probably this summer in Texas, where most of my fan base is right now. And in later years, I will be touring in the UK and anywhere I can. So, yes,
wow.
I'm going to have a lot of fun.
Well, you're a delight, and you're going to have an amazing life. And I'm just so proud of you and just so proud to have you on the show. Thank you, sweetie. And we'll have to have you on again. This is not going to be the last time you're going to be on the show. So can we go ahead and close out this part? You're going to do a really beautiful song called Living Prayer. Can you tell us about that song?
Yes, I love this song. I love all the songs that I do. I really love this song. It has an amazing message. It just tells about the journey of mortal life and then finally being relieved and finding faith in God.
Well, it's a beautiful way to end up this segment with you. And thank you again, sweetie. And tell your folks thanks for your mom for all her help in pulling all this together. And just Lord bless you real good. And we will definitely see you down the trail, I'm sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, sweetie. So now let's listen to Living Prayer.
I ride alone with no place to call my home, but there's one who holds my hand, the rugged road through barren land. Dark, the trail is steep, but he's become my eyes to see, the strength to climb, all my grief to bear. My Savior haven from all my unbelief. Please He comforts me and he bids me live inside the love my Father gives. In your love I find relief, a haven from all my
Oh my goodness, I don't know about you all, but I have had so much fun getting to know Janie better today, and what a truly remarkable young lady. What really stands out to me about Janie, especially for a 16-year-old, is how focused and committed she is. When you don't allow yourself to be distracted and even worse, derailed by what life throws at you, each one of us is capable of accomplishing wonderful things, especially for the Lord. Because no matter what you may think, good or bad, the way we live our lives is our most powerful testimony. And when you stay focused on the Lord and His goals for your life, how powerful that testimony becomes. Let me read to you a few short scriptures that speak about focus and commitment. In Colossians 3:2, it says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." For me, the operative word there is set, not ponder or contemplate or meditate on it for a time, but set your minds on things that are above. And in Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. So to me, that's saying to stay focused, that there are so many things, again, and people that try to distract us from our goals and our intentions, but once you have your goals set, and your intentions are clear, then you just put those blinders on and you go for it. And then in Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established, committed. And not to just the task or goal at hand, but to make sure that everything you endeavor to accomplish lines up with God's plans for your life. And He will help you lay out that roadmap to get you there. Which brings us to our last scripture, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When you put the Lord first, when He is the best and most important focus of your life, you will be amazed at what He can accomplish through you. Well, that wraps our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us a gift of your time. And thank you again to our very special guest, Genevieve Rose Mitchell, for visiting and sharing with us today. And there is never a big enough thank you for my amazing producer, Gary Holt, for all he does behind the scenes to make this show happen. Please check out all of the other fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio and our brand new show, My Tennessee, that I think airs this week. And remember that they are archived to you, for you to listen to at your convenience. You can even download our nifty mobile app that allows you to take us on the go with you. And if you like our shows, please help us spread the word by liking us on Facebook and telling your friends about us. Thank you again for joining us today. And until next week, may all your trails be blessed.
Just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me and wilt be with me.